Welcome back to the History of Rock Remix Edition. His name is Jim. He's the rock star.
His name is Brandon. He's a DJ class. He's in session.
And you'll notice I changed. Normally, it just has like a little remix thing up here if you're watching on YouTube or over on Spotify. But we're talking about the Halloween franchise today. Shim, not necessarily a big horror movie fan. That's fine. It's not for everybody.
Here's what I love. I love the imagery. I love the fucking costumes. And I love the over-the-top theatrical nature. I don't like sitting in a dark room for 2 hours and paying money to be made to feel uncomfortable and on edge. It's just not for me. But I love the theatrics and the whole fucking thing. So it just depends on, and I'm sure there's a lot, comment in the comments section if you agree with me. If anyone else is like that, because I don't think I'm alone. You don't have to be addicted to slasher bloods and gore to be like into horror, into Halloween stuff.
No, I know you're not. Like, you're definitely not alone when it comes to that. I am personally a big fan of horror movies, which is weird because when I was a kid, they terrified me. I would hide under the kitchen table when Michael Jackson's Thriller came on MTV.
But the funny thing is, I'm a sidebar about that. I'm gonna mention Michael Jackson's Thriller. I would not be surprised if it's like, hey, you remember Brandon? Which one? The guy that pinches his leg till it bleeds to remember about the garage door. Did you know he's into horror movies? No way.
Well, I mean, in all reality, if you knew me growing up, like, and it still shocks my parents that I enjoy horror movies now because they scared the piss out of me when I was a kid.
Right.
Like, I couldn't do it. Like, when I was a kid, I would shuffle into my parents' room and sleep on their floor because I was so terrified of being alone in my own goddamn room up until I was like 15 years old.
The funny thing is and especially with Michael Jackson, that you remember that because that brings up one of the most traumatic experiences of my early childhood, like under 10, right? I was over at my godfather's house with my dad and a handful of friends, and I was there, and it was like mid-morning, and I'm kind of asking questions, and they're like, oh God, we just want to have a conversation. It's Sunday morning. Put him in front of the TV. Well, what is there? Because the cartoons are finished. So they were like, well, he likes Michael Jackson. Let's put on that Michael Jackson thing. And they didn't know. They just thought it was the music video and the making of the music video. So they put it on from the beginning and just put me in headphones on the couch.
So you were in it.
In the other room so that I could be like, so that they could have their conversation. So, and then like 10 minutes later, they hear this gut-wrenching scream and they come in because it sounds like I'm dying. They come in, they look at me, they look at the screen, and there's Michael Jackson bleeding from the face and fucking morphing. And they're like, what the fuck have we done? And they switch the TV off immediately. I'm there shaking, I've gone white because I'd never seen anything like it. I'd never even conceived of a human being transforming into a monster. I hadn't had that those stories. They didn't tell me those stories yet. I didn't know that people, that was a thing. Yeah. So I was truly fucking horrified. Like, it actually altered my reality to like, that's a thing that can happen now. And it was never in my reality before.
All right. So,
and luckily, I came back to Michael Jackson afterwards, but I was off Michael Jackson for a while, which for a 10-year-old kid, never mind.
Oh, hey-o. So, remix edition here today of the History of Rock podcast. And just two segments, though, as I was off on vacation last week. No five fast questions. I know that some people are going to be upset about that because that's their favorite segment of the entire week. They look forward to those. But unfortunately, and that might become a thing where it becomes more of a monthly occurrence than a weekly occurrence. Because the five fast questions, not easy to do. Because we need to find, it's a variety of questions that need to be found and researched and stuff like that. So no five fast questions today, but for the opening segment here, we are talking about Halloween, the whole franchise, quite frankly, because they had Halloween Ends, which hit theaters this past Friday on October 14th. And apparently it's not that great of a movie. I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes right now. It's got a 40% on the tomato meter, 57% audience score. And now that I'm thinking about it, when you get into reading one of these, I want to go back and see what Rob Zombie's is at. I kind of liked Rob Zombie's version, but we'll get more into that here coming up in a few minutes. And then the second segment today, we're going to be talking about the polls, the kind of stuff I put up on my YouTube channel. You can find a poll up there. And the one we're going to be talking about is I posed the question, what is the greatest horror movie franchise?
Polarizing.
Very polarizing. We're going to get to that here in just a minute. So, excuse me. When it comes to Halloween, the franchise, which, quote, ends, they've tried to end this thing multiple times. They had the new movie come out last Friday in theaters. The franchise vaulted Jamie Lee Curtis to Scream Queen status as she played Laurie Strode, the main protagonist. sort of throughout the whole series, although there was multiple movies that she was not in. Now, the original title was supposed to be The Babysitter Murders.
Why did they change? Did you find out why they changed it?
It was just some thoughts and ideas of people who were involved with the making, and they thought that, hey, why don't we make this a Halloween thing? We'll call it Halloween. Yeah. It happens on Halloween night. And then and coincidentally, it kind of turned out to be a great idea because now it's a staple of Halloween for a lot of people.
They basically own that trademark now. They're like, you can release a Halloween movie any Halloween you want. They're going to bring back Mike Myers as many times as they fucking want. It's going to be like Kiss's reunion tours. They're just going to keep going until the end of time.
Oh, there is a reason why Michael Myers cannot die. And we'll get to that to wrap this thing up. So that's coming up here in just a minute.
So Freddy Krueger worked on John Carpenter's original Halloween. There were a lot of leaves to scatter around the set to make the mood for the movie, and one of the assistants tasked with that job was none other than Robert Englund. Yeah.
It's just England.
I don't know who the fuck that is. I'm sorry. I was trying
Robert
to be cool.
Robert Englund is the guy. He is Freddy Krueger.
He's the guy that plays Freddy Krueger.
Yep. And cool. So he was an assistant on the original set for Halloween. Now, actor Nick Castle, he played Michael Myers in the original movie, but he's always wearing the mask. When the mask gets pulled off in the original Halloween, it's a completely different guy. They brought in an actor named Tony Moran to portray. Yeah. And I don't want to say it's a split second. I mean, you can see his face, but it's really quick where Laurie pulls off his mask. He puts it back on. Dr. Loomis fires the gun. And for his role, Tony Moran, the guy that gets to show his face as Michael Myers, he got paid $250.
Did they mention why? Why did Nick Castle not play the face?
That I did not. I was not able to.
I was like, that really seems weird to change. Like, if it was Darth Vader, clearly the voice and the face, it's different things, you know. Like, but I read that. I'm like, why the fuck would you go to the effort of doing that for Halloween 2?
Did you know that the guy that was in the suit, he thought they were going to use his voice?
For Star Wars?
Yeah, David Prowse.
Yeah, I heard about that. See, here's the thing. I heard about that afterwards, yeah.
He thought, okay, so it sounds a little muffled, but they'll eventually use my voice. They'll redub it. And it was like, nah, we're going to James Earl Jones. And, oh, okay, you know what? Hold on.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'm going off on a quick tangent here because recently, did you hear that James Earl Jones is not going to be the voice of Darth Vader anymore?
I have heard that, yes.
So, but did you hear what they're doing?
I've heard parts. Tell me.
Basically, they're taking everything that he's already done and they're using AI as the future voice of Darth Vader. And for anybody who's played a video game where they've tried to mimic the voice, this is a good sign for me, at least.
Well, what you got to point out, he signed over the rights. Mm-hmm. To say, I'm going to stop doing it, and I sign over the rights in perpetuity. This is a game-changing thing because it's the first time an actor has said, when I die, you can keep using it. Do you know if he said, like, pay the money that would go to me into a trust for my kids or anything?
I haven't found any information on that.
That's a thing that I love. I mean, like, but did he say whether he can't be fucked to do it anymore, or he's losing his voice, or he's just like, yeah, just get the AI bot to do it?
I guess we'll find out.
All right.
No, basically, from my understanding, is huge.
No, you cannot break the rules of the horn. You must not break the rules of the horn. We must finish.
It's getting old.
Halloween 2 stuntman Dick Warlock got the role of Michael Myers. Before his audition, he saw a Michael Myers mask outside the director's office. He put the mask on and went into the interview as if he was Michael Myers, not saying a word. Pretty good method acting right there.
So that's how he was able to get the role for Halloween 2. Now, Michael became Laurie's brother in Halloween 2 because Carpenter had writer's block and drank a lot of beer. He said, that's quote, I didn't think there was any more story and I didn't want to do it again, but I had to write the second movie. And every night I sat there and wrote with a six pack of beer trying to get through this thing and didn't do a very good job, but that was it. I couldn't do any more.
Fuck, that's at least he's honest, isn't he? I mean, like, what, he signed on and was like, yes, I will make a sequel to this for you, signed the contract, took the money, and then was like, well, fuck this.
I mean, we'll get to one of the reasons also why he didn't feel there's any story anymore coming up here, starting with this next one, actually, for you.
For the third movie in the franchise, they tried to branch out to a completely different storyline with Season of the Witch. Carpenter wanted the series to be more of a holiday-themed series for horror tales. Interesting.
Kind of like an anthology where it's Halloween, different storyline each time. And Season of the Witch just did not do well.
Like, oh my God, no. Come on. Twilight Zone. Like Twilight Zone.
Yeah, or perfect example, American Horror Story. How every year it's technically, and I think people have even looked into that, and it's all part of the same universe. But it's the same title where it's like American Horror Story Asylum, American Horror Story Coven. And that was what they were trying to do with Halloween. Clearly did not work out the way that they wanted to, just because, excuse me, just because the Season of the Witch just did not do well. Now, Jamie Lee Curtis, she did have a brief cameo in Season of the Witch. She voiced a telephone operator as well as the person who announces the town curfew. So she was there, but just... Yeah.
So while filming Halloween 4, The Return of Mike Myers, someone called the cops. I love this. Someone called the cops because they thought Danielle Harris, who played Laurie Strode's daughter, Jamie Lloyd, was actually in trouble. She was running and screaming through a neighborhood, and someone who lived nearby where they were filming called the cops. That means I would love to get that phone call. Imagine being the director, the whole crew's there, cops show up and they're like, and they you just see the whole, I wonder if the cops even bothered, if they see the whole film set and the street shut down and they just turn around and be like, yeah, okay, we get it, forget it. Or would they have to interview everyone and shut it down?
Because when I lived in Florida, I lived at an area that was kind of near Broward and Dade County, and they were filming the Miami Vice movie with Jamie Foxx and Colin Farrell.
They had
to shut down filming because there was an actual robbery happening right near the set. Like where they were filming a gunfight, there was an actual gunfight happening not too far away. Shit. So they had to shut down production and the real cops had to come in and take care of what was going
That's funny.
Over there. So Ellie Cornell played Rachel. That's Jamie's foster sister in Halloween 4. I know we're going to do like really deep diving here into kind of the Halloween characters. But essentially, she was the badass. She was the one that took over for Laurie Strode, kind of as the older role who survives the night. For Halloween 5, the director, and I'm completely guessing on the name here, Dominique Othenin Gerard.
Thank you for taking
wanted
that
Rachel to die at the beginning of the movie. You really like they wanted to have a curveball there where she dies like right out of the gate by having Michael shove scissors down her throat while she's in the shower. They're also trying to pay homage to Psycho as well. Ellie, who played the role, wasn't having any of it. She was upset. Right. She goes, well, how do you go from being a hero to this just really crappy death? It's really cheesy. She's in the shower. She's getting stabbed by scissors. Like, this is just unacceptable. So she ended up negotiating not only more money for the role. She still died at the beginning, but she negotiated a new death scene so that it wasn't as I don't want to say cheesy because they're all kind of
it's
cheesy,
bitchy. But, just like a little bitch scene, yeah. But also, like, the idea of, okay. Halloween, this is cool. Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers was Paul Rudd's first starring role. He filmed the movie in October 94, just 1 month before shooting Clueless. Whenever I watch Clueless, am I the only person that looks at Paul Rudd in Clueless and goes, damn, he looks better now. And it's been 30 fucking years.
Yeah. Although the funny thing is, too, if you look at Donald Faison in Clueless, he looks the same now. Like, that dude hasn't aged at all.
You're absolutely right.
And then, of course, you have Stacey Dash out there who's crying because she didn't realize that DMX died, like, 7 months ago. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that. I haven't... What are you talking about? Okay.
We got to do it, man, because...
Okay, go for it. Tell me.
This was a few weeks ago. So Stacey Dash, for anybody who doesn't know, she was the best friend in Clueless. She has gone, I don't want to say like super right wing, but she would be on Fox News and she's become very conservative in her views and she's kind of put her foot in her mouth a couple of times. And she's gone out there pretty far. And yeah. She posted this video about 2 to 3 weeks ago, crying in tears that DMX passed away. And DMX passed away.
It was a while ago.
When was it? DMX, he died in over a year ago. He died April of 2021. So it's not like this was a new thing. Apparently, she had just found out. And was absolutely in tears crying about DMX passing away.
Did she get destroyed on the comment section?
Oh, absolutely. Everywhere she got destroyed.
Good timing. I like that.
All right. So Danielle Harris wanted to come back for Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers so bad, she emancipated herself. So if you're not familiar with Danielle Harris, she was kind of the one that really took over a lot of the roles in Halloween. She's in Rob Zombie's Halloween. She doesn't play Laurie Strode. She plays one of Laurie's friends. She was also in Roseanne. If you remember...
She was the Becky fill-in.
No. That was Sarah Chalke from Scrubs.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Danielle Harris was the neighbor who also kind of had the hots for David a little bit, Darlene's boyfriend. And Darlene and Danielle Harris's character butted heads on Roseanne. Right. So that's where Danielle Harris is probably well-known, most well-known. She's had a very good career. But she was only 17 at the time when they were going to film Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers. And the production crew wasn't 100% sold on having the hours that you have to dictate for a 17-year-old, because it's obviously different for a child. She's technically a child. So you can't have her work extra hours the way you would an adult. Yeah. So she got emancipated to legally become an adult for this.
Yeah.
They end up lowballing her with like $1,000 offer for the role. Great. That didn't even cover her costs of her legal expenses to become emancipated. And she ended up turning down the role, and she's like, whatever, like, I'm out of here. Peace out, bitches.
I'm sorry, but that's a great fucking Hollywood story. Rob Zombie has tried to kill the entire franchise. His original ending for Halloween was going to kill off every main character. Michael kills Loomis and the police kill both Michael and Laurie. A different ending was obviously shot, which led to Zombie making a sequel.
And for anybody who doesn't know who Loomis is, that's Dr. Loomis. He's Michael Myers' psychiatrist. So he was portrayed by, I'm blanking on the actor's name in the original series. It was offered up to Christopher Lee, who played Count Dooku in the Star Wars movies. And then it ended up being played by Malcolm McDowell in the Rob Zombie movies. So I'll give you this. Finally, what keeps Michael Myers alive? Like, the guy has gone through so many different things where he's been shot, he's been burned, he's had his head cut off. And what keeps him alive? He's not a supernatural being. He's a guy.
Right.
It's a contract. It was written in a contract. Syrian-American filmmaker Mustafa Akkad owned the rights and had it in the contract you were not allowed to kill Michael Myers. Jamie Lee Curtis returned for Halloween H20 with the intention of killing Michael and killing the franchise, like ending it, being like, this is it. This thing is over and done with. But Akkad would not allow it to happen. So writer Kevin Williamson told Jamie Lee Curtis, "So if you think he's dead and the audience thinks he's dead, but he's not dead, is that good enough for you?" And Jamie Lee Curtis agreed, and eventually she did that movie.
What does Jamie Lee Curtis care? Why does she want to kill the franchise? Why wouldn't she want the franchise to keep going so she can keep making movies, make money?
I don't think she ever really wanted to be involved that much anymore, although she keeps coming back. She was in the most recent one as well.
I was going to say, this is her bread and butter for the last 10 years. Like, she's done three more after she said, nah, I'm not going to do any more. But the thing I want to know is, who the fuck is Mustafa Akkad, and why does he own the rights to Michael Myers? Did he write the book whatever?
He was, I believe, the original financial backer of the original Halloween movie. Now, I'm not sure if that contract still exists or was passed on to anybody else, because he passed away back in 2005 during a bombing, by the way.
It's a crazy
story with what happened to him, and it's a sad story. You can go ahead and look it up. It's Mustafa Akkad, A-K-K-A-D.
Damn,
dude. Was the man's name. But that's essentially kind of what happened. And so what they did is they made it seem like Laurie Strode cuts off Michael Myers' head. So that you would think, okay, that's it. It's done and over with. Even in the X-Men lore, it's like, oh, how do you kill Wolverine? Cut off his head. Because, you know, he constantly regenerates. That's a way that you constantly you kill somebody. In the next movie, what they made it look like was Michael Myers had crushed the windpipe of another person.
Yeah.
Swapped out the clothes and the mask. Yeah. And that's who Laurie cut the head off of. And Michael had actually escaped. And that's how they came through with what happened and why they were able to make another movie. But And of course, when we're talking about Rob Zombie, who made two Halloween movies, we're going to be talking about House of a Thousand Corpses coming up on Monday's episode, the regular episode of The History of Rock. Or I'm sorry, not this coming up Mondays. It's going to be in two Mondays because it's going to drop on Halloween Day is when that one is going to be dropping, because there's crazy stories behind what went on with that, because that wasn't supposed to be his directorial debut, but it ended up being his directorial debut, and it was filmed in the year 2000, but it wasn't released until 2003 because studios kept dropping it, and he was they were getting an NC-17 rating, and there's just all this crazy crap that went down. And it would make a fantastic book, as Rob Zombie said, but that's going to do it for the Halloween franchise. Yes.
Next coming up, what do we got?
These are the polls, baby.
Yes, that's right.
All right, so we're just going to get to one today. Again, this might be a shorter remix episode here, just because no five fast questions. And really only one poll that we're covering. I put this one up before I went on vacation. What is the greatest horror movie franchise of all time? Now, the reason, again, there's four options you can put up on YouTube. So what I do is I put up three, and then the fourth option is always, is it something else? Fill in the blank. Comment with what you think should be the extra one here.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's really the big three that you can think of when it comes to horror movie franchises, at least the kind of classic ones, where you have Halloween, Friday the 13th, and Nightmare on Elm Street. Those are your core three. There's vastly more than that now, obviously, but those are the main ones. I specifically left those ones out. I did not put those in as an option at all, because I knew that people, and people did end up commenting a lot on that.
Yeah.
And so we ended up with the three options I had were Evil Dead, Saw, and Scream. Have you seen, not the whole franchise, but have you seen any of those individual movies of any of those franchises?
I watched the Screams, and the first Saw movie, I think, is one of the most genius movies ever made, and I've got a massive attachment to it because it was an Australian director and the whole writing a film and all that's the story of how the first Saw came up. And then but then I watched like the second and third one, and it just got really gory, and I was like, yeah, I'm out. But no, I've seen them. I love
there
Saw.
there was somebody that commented about Jigsaw and kind of the whole plot of Saw, and there was a thing we did on the morning show where we defended a villain. We would have our good friend Justin Underwood, who's a lawyer. He would come in and do a segment called Ask a Lawyer, where people can call up and request advice. It's not a technical, it's not an actual legal sit down, but he can kind of point you in the right direction of what you need to do. And one of the times he came in, we were defending villains, and I defended Jigsaw because I was like, he's not technically killing anybody. He's giving you
he's giving
choice.
You a choice. Yeah.
I mean, let's go from there. Ultimately, I'm a terrible lawyer. That's there you go. One franchise that when it came to this poll that got a lot of traction, that got way more than I ever anticipated, one would have been more than I thought this one would have gotten, was the Child's Play / Chucky franchise.
Right.
I think a lot of that has to do is because there's a TV show currently running about it.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That's one of the movies. It was The Bride of Chucky, I think. I walked out of in the movie theater.
Because it was just too bad?
It's the only movie I've ever walked out of. I was like, this is awful. There's so many things I'd rather be doing with my time right now. I walked out.
Right.
And I've sat through some shit. Like, I've sat through some garbage-ass movies, and I walked out of The Bride of Chucky.
Right.
So the current results as we're recording this on this poll is the Evil Dead franchise is at 15%. Saw and Scream are tied at 17%, but something else, the fourth option, is leading the way with 51%, and we're sitting at over 4,000 votes at this point here on this poll. And here are some of the comments. David Rogers said, Saw is, and there's a lot of people who clearly did not understand the question where I said franchise. Like, we're talking a full franchise, not just
right.
the movie.
They missed
the franchise part. But David Rogers here says, Saw is the better of the three, but A Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, and or Friday the 13th should have been on this one. And yeah, I agree completely with David. I left them out of there for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Matthew Cuccia? I don't know.
Cooch.
He says, House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, Three from Hell. Clearly, he's a Rob Zombie fan. Because those are right. all of the Firefly franchise.
Right.
It's the Firefly family is the...
I didn't realize that they fell into a franchise. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, because it went from House of a Thousand Corpses into Devil's Rejects, and then Three from Hell was the third movie in that franchise. Badoobles. Dude, I love people's YouTube names sometimes. Says Halloween, in my opinion. 1982's The Thing is my all-time favorite horror movie, but it isn't a franchise. So you can't, like... They understand.
They still want to have their opinion, though. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it says, I don't give a damn about the second movie. We're just going to pretend that shit didn't exist, which brought to mind Boondock Saints 2 for me. I try to act like that movie doesn't exist.
I've seen that it exists. I haven't dared try to watch it.
Don't. It's so bad it ruins the first one. Like, I swear to God. Like, it's that bad. Like, can you think of a movie that you watched that you really enjoyed, but a sequel was so bad it almost ruined the original movie?
The Neverending Story.
It was like you thought that was so bad it almost ruined the first one?
Yeah, yeah. I remember watching that. I remember being, it might have been an age thing, but I remember being addicted to the first one. And then the second one, I found the second one years later and I was like, this sucks. And then I went back to watch the first one and I was like, yeah, this now it's, it just kind of took something away from it. Took away a bit of the magic. There was a bit more magic in, like, The Neverending Story is fucking such an amazing movie. And of course, they had to fucking ruin it. But no, yeah, Boondock Saints. Here's the funny thing about Boondock Saints. It's not actually that amazing a movie. It's not that amazing a movie. The first one. It's good, not great.
It's good.
It was hyped as fuck. Have you ever seen the documentary about the making of Boondock Saints?
No, but
the
director I've always just, wanted to. Hold on one second.
It's
here.
Amazing. What? Okay. The film about the making of Boondock Saints is way better than the movie. And then when they go into, dude, like, this poor guy he self-sabotages to the point of it being such a great dramatic ride. And you watch him treat all of his friends like shit, completely believe that he is God.
You're talking
God.
About
he's
the, like the writer-director.
The writer-director.
Troy Duffy,
because,
is his name?
Because, yeah, Troy Duffy, exactly. Simply because he wrote a script. It was right after Pulp Fiction. He wrote the script. It kind of landed in the vein and everyone was looking for Quentin Tarantino too. And they just, they made him, they wrote a story around him and he bought the story that they wrote around him just to try to make some money off of his script. And he was like, I am Tarantino. I am the next amazing director. And he goes so far down the fucking rabbit hole that he eventually winds up pacing outside his own bar, which is the only thing he had left by the end of it. Talking to himself.
All right, well, I'm going to take another 60 seconds because I'm going to explain something to you here really quick. Are you ready for this?
Right.
So Boondock Saints 2 is so goddamn bad. So you've seen the first one and you know how it ends. It ends in the court scene where they kill the guy in the court and they're like, it's like, you know, whatever the big speech that they give, like, whatever town you're in, we're coming for you, like, you know, we got this thing, and they're going to be these vigilantes that go conquer, like American crime. Boondock Saints 2 picks up where they've been in hiding for years. They never did it. They're like, it got difficult, and we just hid. And it's like you completely fucking undid the beginning at the end of Boondock Saints 1. It's like, it is fucking terrible. They try to bring in this other guy to play the role of Rocco, and it just doesn't fit. And again, it almost ruins Boondock Saints 1 for me. It is that bad. Geez. Don't see Boondock Saints 2. Don't do it. All right, back to our polls here. Because we got to talk about, we already did Badoobles. I just like that name, Badoobles.
Doodle.
Austin
Doodle.
Bork says, and he's focusing on the one franchise here, Evil Dead 1, good. Evil Dead 2, awesome. Army of Darkness, fun as fuck. Ash versus Evil Dead, fun. Do you know anything really about any of those movies?
No, Evil Dead never got into. I know it was super gory.
So, but you know that it's Sam Raimi who did the original Spider-Man trilogy.
No, didn't know that.
And Bruce Campbell plays a recurring role. He's the main guy. He's Ash.
Yeah.
In Evil Dead and Army of Darkness. And yeah. he has a cameo in every single Spider-Man movie. He's the guy that plays the not the bouncer, but the guy in the theater that basically won't let Peter in because he's late.
Right.
And so Bruce Campbell, he has a role in every single one.
Right.
And then also Sam Raimi was the guy that was behind Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. He directed that as well.
Oh, cool.
And so Bruce Campbell had another
role. And he was
role,
in that.
And he had a bit.
So he's basically,
well.
His whole career is piggybacked off that.
Yeah, well, Bruce Campbell's the shit. Like, you don't know Bruce Campbell, man. That guy's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so the final comment we had here is, comes from Comet News. Evil Dead is my favorite. There's no bad movie like Halloween Resurrection or Friday the 13th Part 5. Scream is the same movie over and over with a different killer. I love the movies, but I agree.
Yeah.
I enjoy exactly the right. Scream movies, but I agree 100% with what they said right there is that it's basically kind of the same movie. Although.
Isn't every fucking Halloween movie the same movie, basically?
Yeah.
I'll be right back. I mean, I'm dead.
Well, I mean, like every Nightmare on Elm Street is. Every Friday the 13th is. Like they all kind of follow the same exact pattern. I just thought that Scream was great, the first one. I thought bringing in Laurie Metcalf in Scream 2, who played Aunt Jackie and Roseanne, and having her, spoiler alert, you're already going to know what I'm going to say here, but having her be the killer, that was fucking brilliant.
It was
and it's
really
Billy Loomis's mom. Like,
like,
it
really
was so well
move.
Done.
And she plays crazy so well. She's such a good actress.
Really, really quick on her. When we were over in on vacation this past week, there's this one channel they were showing old episodes of Roseanne. And God, she was so good in that show.
Oh, yeah.
She's so goddamn brilliant in Roseanne back then. All right. So to wrap this up. So some of the random franchises that kind of get mentions here in the comment section on this one poll question that I put up, which was, what is the greatest horror movie franchise of all time? It's a couple of video game franchises, Resident Evil and Silent Hill.
Yep. That makes sense.
Highly recommend the first Resident Evil movie. And it's not because there's a special place in our hearts because of Saudada being a song that Shim did for a Resident Evil video game. But that movie is really, really good. Like, that movie is the first one I thought was great. But out of the three big franchises that I left out, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, which one do you think, and I'm kind of guessing, I didn't actually sit and count each one, but which one do you think probably got the most write-in votes? And this coming from a non-horror movie guy.
I'd say Nightmare on Elm Street. That seems like the most iconic.
Halloween. And maybe because the new movie just came out, or because
technically it's got to be that, man.
It's got to
be that.
Movies away.
Yeah.
But people go nuts for the stuff. Did we ever do the one where I said that? I can't remember if we did this in the remix episode or not, about how one of the, like, you pick one of these villains to protect you, and then whoever is protecting you, like, the other three are attacking you. Did we covered that, right? Okay.
I think we did that. Yeah.
Because Michael Myers is the one that got the least amount of votes. But we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
We're out of time. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
His name's Shib. He's a rock star.
His name is Brandon. He's the DJ. Go and check out the socials.
You can check him out below. Class dismissed.
Click the link.